Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey there. How are you, Randy?
Spreading the gospel of Realty Universal. I love that. I get inspired hearing that, and I've heard it a lot. I'm doing well. Doing well. It's okay in California today. It's kind of mild, not so hot. And a little sad today. Our son, Travis, just accepted a job at a clothing company in New York City, and he's going to be flying out. He's flying out today, actually, to go to begin working for a clothing company in Manhattan.
Has he ever spent any time in New York?
Oh yeah. He's done the tour manage thing for bands for the last like 3 years, so he's been in New York several times.
I thought he's gonna. Oh, that's women. I thought that was your other son. I'm getting mixed. Oh wow. What, he doesn't want to stay in that?
Yeah, this is my son that was doing the tour managed thing, and he just felt like, 3 years of doing that was enough, and he didn't want to be a, 40-year-old roadie guy doing tours, He wanted to get a real job, and so it doesn't get more real than Manhattan, baby. So,
wow, that's going to be really exciting. Boy, he's had a real, that's exciting. Very exciting.
Sad
so you'll
for
just
Mama.
Have to come over to the East, you and Monica will just have to come over to the East Coast and do some,
yeah.
When you're visiting.
Yep, we'll have to do that.
The business stuff. Yeah.
Mama was struggling last night a little bit. She got emotional.
Did he just come back? He was on the road for a while, right?
Yeah, he's been back now for a couple months from his last tour and just was increasingly wanting to get a real job and not tour anymore, and as he calls it.
Mm.
And this company is a rock and roll kind of. He met these guys while doing his job, because they're a clothing line that really caters to kind of young, hip, mid-20-year-old, people in the music industry. So his job is going to be connecting with bands and getting them to wear their clothes and stuff like that. So he's still going to be involved in the music, industry, because he's going to be out hobnobbing and, he has to go to concerts, a lot of clubs in New York and, connect with bands. So anyway, that's my middle son Travis, and so
Travis,
we're okay.
I'm just thinking for some. Oh my God, that's amazing. Well, you know what? It's not too far to go to the other side.
Yeah,
you just have to start putting it in the schedule. Yeah. Now, how interesting though. He's got such a it's amazing where he's been and all over the world, and he's really so interesting. And then to be able to take it and turn it into Manhattan and such more culture and more people, it's just he's gonna have a blast.
It's almost surreal as I'm watching him on Craigslist look for places to rent, and looking at maps.
Oh
of
God,
Manhattan.
That's expensive.
Oh my gosh, and he's looking
for $5,000 a month for a little teeny place. He might have to go down a little bit towards Brooklyn. He may have to move over a little bit travel every day a little.
That's what he's doing. He was showing me a map and saying, "Hey, Dad, here's Manhattan. I'm looking down here a ways, kind of down by the Statue of Liberty. I forget the name of the community, but it's much cheaper than living, up in Manhattan. It's down toward Brooklyn and the Bronx and all that." So,
we'll be up there before you know it. How exciting! That's
I'm proud of.
I love New York.
It's funny, different the different emotions as a dad. I'm just proud of him. I don't feel like I'm going to miss him per se. I mean, we didn't see him a whole lot. So, but Mama always takes it a little harder when he's actually moving away and not going to be back, you know, for a while. It's cool.
And yeah, it's amazing. You don't know until you go through it, huh?
Yeah, you don't. And this kid thing, you know, it just, they're always your kids, and they're always, you know, it's always a, you know, situation where they're on your heart, and no matter how old they get, and
they're always your babies, and these experiences for them are so awesome. Though it's just amazing. It's so neat though that now we have the Skype, and of course with it, you know, the communications, we can communicate just like they're there, but it doesn't feel the same.
How are you?
Just fine. Getting you know, the grief has been really bad, and I really
recently,
for so much time, and so I'm getting better. I'm getting back to me. And, I don't like, you know, what grief makes you, grief gets you, when you have, like, what the tragedy that we had and the way it happened can make you bitter, and finding these things that I don't like, you know, seeing things that I don't like or feelings that I don't like, you know, and I'm looking forward to getting back to my old self, you know. It gives me a lot of empathy, though, when you see when people aren't sharp on their, you know, sharp as a tack right away, or feelings and emotions, or when people get bitter or get a little bitty, you know, excuse the French. And it's, but you go, wow, now I kind of understand that. And I never really understood that before because I was, you know, so it's interesting. But I'm doing fine. I'm doing well.
You've been on fire the last couple of weeks, you know.
These shows.
Well,
you know, you come back, but. Yeah,
so
that stuff, it's hard sometimes in life, right, to not let that affect you. You know, one of my, a friend of mine in Hawaii was telling me, she's older, in her early 80s, and she was bringing up Red Skeleton. She said, you don't remember Red Skeleton, do you? She's probably before your time. And I said, no, I remember him, you know, on the TV. She said one of his children had drowned. And an hour before he had to do the show, and he still did the show, and he went on. And I'm like, oh, my God, like how can anyone do that? And she said he did it, and, of course, he probably broke down afterwards. But he did it, and no one could tell. And that's just amazing to me, you know, that the faces that people have to put on or what people have to do if that's part of what you do, right? Like they always say the show must go on, and I find that interesting, where, you know, everybody's different and everybody can handle so many things, you know, so it's it's interesting. It's very, very interesting.
It's such a journey
and when you look at all so many people and all the different personalities and all the different things that they're out there to do, it's just amazing, isn't it? Just like I'm in the real estate, you're in radio, and we branch out to so much more, right, all over, and it's just such a journey. It's a good one.
I've got a great quote before we dive into today's topic. And let me just, before I even do the quote, kind of tease, if you will, as we say in radio, tease our upcoming guest, which means we're not really teasing her, but we're teasing the fact that she's going to be with us. So had to explain that. Tammy Lang is going to be with us in the second half. And get this, she is, and I know a lot of your listeners, obviously women, and she's a mother, a pastor's wife, a businesswoman, missionary, and serves on the board of several nonprofits. And in her spare time, she rides horses. So and does many other things. But she's going to be with us to inspire us, motivate us to, again, as we say, give back, be the change. She created some incredible entrepreneurial ideas when she was in Ethiopia to help these people make money because they.
Wow.
Yeah, so just she's very creative and put her kind of expertise to work as she was over there ministering to people in Ethiopia. And so, yeah, that's the second half. And first half, of course, we're going to be talking here in just a moment again about if folks have had a foreclosure or a short sale, you're going to encourage us that there's still hope in terms of buying another house.
Well, yeah, it's like if you had a foreclosure or a short sale, think you can't buy, think again, okay? You definitely can, and we're going to go over some things that have come up recently, too, that will assist you in doing that sooner than you thought you could.
Wow. Well, that's good news. We escaped a short sale and foreclosure, and we're back in our home, and kind of thankful every day that we live here. It's a gift that we actually still have it. So even when that time of month comes around where I have to pay the mortgage, you know, you do it kind of gladly because you're like, wow, this is a gift that we have. But here's my quote, because we talked about grief a few minutes ago, and we talked about all the stuff that we go through, and as humans we do. But I love this. I repeat this over and over, and it really helps me. Regardless of what we are thinking, feeling, or seeing around us, here's the truth based on God's word. All is well, and I am deeply loved. All is well, and I am deeply loved. And I'll tell you, as I walk in the morning, I call it prayer walking. I've been walking an hour every morning, usually pre-dawn, and I repeat that. I just, like an affirmation, just over and over, and let that I am deeply loved part sink in, because that's hard for me. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me, and the more I
embrace... Me too. I know what you mean.
More that I embrace that I am deeply loved. Guess what? I don't have to please people. I don't have to be so frenetic about a lot of my activity, because I am deeply loved. And there's just a peace that comes with that when you let it in. But it comes by just repeating. And so, you know, people talk about affirmations all the time, and I know there's a lot of great ones, but for me, that's been my affirmation of choice lately.
Yeah, and it's really our, yeah, it's amazing that it's, I love that. I love that quote.
Yeah. We are deeply loved.
It's so needed. It's just such one of the things we were going to talk about today with the short sales is, you've probably heard a lot, if you're following real estate, you've heard a lot in the news about the government talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac possibly going away, which we don't want to see that. You know, revamping is fine. FHA is the insures mortgages. It's a government agency. It's been around for quite a while. And you can get FHA loans, and it's been around a long time, and they've made lots of different changes. FHA has been a little bit more expensive the last year or two than it used to be, which makes some people shy away from it and go towards a conventional loan. Most of the conventional loans, you want to have 20% down to avoid mortgage insurance. I won't get into, there's just not enough time to get into all the specifics of loans verbatim and how you can get in with less than 20%. But a lot of the old loans that we were used to went away, so you need more money down. But with FHA, typically you need 3.5% of your own money to put down. And there's also still ways to structure gift monies. So anybody that's listening to the call, you may want to go to HUD.gov, and read up on the FHA loans and other factors that you can do to get involved with purchasing a home, et cetera, if you've been through foreclosure, if you've been through a short sale. The government right now is putting out, and I don't know the exact time frame right now, what the dates are, but they're putting out that they may go ahead and on the FHA loans consider letting people get in to buy another house within a year of a short sale or foreclosure. That's big, because conventional loans over the years ran 2 to 4 years before you could think about getting back into home ownership with this path. So if they change this right now, which is what they're saying they're doing, to 1 year, then that doesn't take that. It's not 1 year, it's here before you know it, you know? Mm-hmm. So we wanted to mention that because, of course, on our show, we only have time to go over, tidbits, but we want to bring the information to you because not everybody sees it, especially when you're bombarded with so much out there right now. So Randy and I always talk about mindsets, firm believers, right? We're birds of a feather when it comes to that, you know, what you believe you become. And our mindset is the journey that we have to keep. We have to keep ourselves as positive as we can every day. God's amazing, and spiritually, you know, it's good to meditate and relax and have faith and trust and love. But we're all going through different challenges at different times in life. And right now, on the mindset, if you went through a short sale or foreclosure or bankruptcy, you know, that's not a bad, horrible thing. It's just something that happened to you. You know, bad things happen to good people all the time. But it's important to keep your mindset on the path of still home ownership, still, you know, being able to move forward with your dreams and your plans and to not get negative about it, not just assume. We hear a lot of people, I hear it constantly, it says, oh, I had a short sale, I had a foreclosure, I'm not going to be buying, I'm just going to rent forever, you know. And that's one thing you don't have to do. There's nothing wrong with renting. Many times it works to somebody's benefit if, you know, if they're traveling a lot or they have different reasons they want to do it, or the company's picking up the tab, or they're self-employed and the business does it. There's just so many different reasons. I'm not knocking renting. Renting is not a bad thing. But homeownership certainly gives you a lot of pluses, being able to own it, pass it on to your family. You know, in some countries, they actually have rentals that get passed on to the next generation. It's just, I think in Austria, for example, if you rent, the homeownership can be passed, like the owner, the rental lease can be passed over, and it is passed on. It's not like just a, but anyhow, we won't go there. But so for homeownership, you know, wanting to still do that, being able to own and take the tax write-off, you know, change your house the way you want it, passing it on to your family. It's important to not think we can't do this, we aren't going to be able to do this. So FHA, actually, typically you can qualify for more of a house than you can conventionally. The credit scores are you're able to get in with lower credit scores than conventional typically. Now that they're talking about going ahead and letting you do it within as short a period of time as a year after a short sale or foreclosure, it's definitely good to look at. And you can go to HUD.gov, HUD.gov, for more information on that. We also, you know, talk about if you can look for assumable loans, rent with sale, rent with option. There's many more ways to get you into a property than just, you know, it's not just one cookie-cutter way. But FHA is a good government program that I don't think is going to go away. I hope it doesn't go away, and it shouldn't go away. So we just wanted to mention that today on our show because it's just coming into play right now, and many of you may be sitting on the fence. You may be coming up for renewals on your leases. Different things may be happening that you're just not aware of this, and that's our goal always, is to get out there and reach out there and make sure people know about this. And if you want to get, if you're listening, a lot of the agents and brokers are already on our newsletter list at RealtyUniversal.com. If you want to sign up, you can actually sign up if you're a seller or buyer as well. You don't have to be an agent or broker to get into receiving our newsletters. We have several that go out, sellers and buyers, and then agents and brokers. So you can just go to RealtyUniversal.com and sign up and get on the newsletter list, because it's a good idea to do, because we do update people on a lot of changes. And nowadays, there's just so much information everywhere that it's just thrown at you. So we try to pull it out and decipher and keep people up to date on what's happening in the real estate world. Randy, it's...
I've got a question as you talk about foreclosure and short sale, and often I think, and by the way, again, we're live, as usual, on 347-945-5428, if you'd like to call in and you have a question. I typically ask the everyman question that those of you listening right now are probably thinking, but foreclosure versus short sale, which one, is there one that really affects your credit more, or are they both pretty similar in terms of credit being dinged?
Well, that's a great question. Foreclosure is usually going to hurt you much more than a short sale.
On the
average, they said the points would run around 180 to 200 points difference. I'm not sure. I would think and I would hope with all the short sales, I mean, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of them that's happened in the last 5 years. And foreclosures, much higher of a rate than what we had in the past. So I would hope that somehow the scoring is going to be revamped or revised. But, yeah, it's always typically better to do a short sale than a foreclosure. A couple reasons for that is the historically the banks are going to get less at a foreclosure because it's going through and it's going to go to a foreclosure auction and you have people bidding. And you know, and they're trying to get the best deal. Sometimes if you have many people bidding, it can up the price, but typically it's going to be lower. A short sale is still putting the property on the market, typically through a local broker or agent, and typically they're going to get a higher amount, you know, not always, but most of the time. So short sale is going to bring more money on the property typically. It's going to hurt your credit less because the lender's willing to accept less than what's due. A foreclosure, they're just taking back the property and they're having to resell it. It's becoming a great REO property. So, and then for tax purposes, right now they've extended the law through December 31st, 2013, that if you live in the property, you're not going to have to be liable for taxes on the 1099. So that's an issue you always have to talk to your accountant about, whether it's a short sale or a foreclosure, because there's a tax liability that has to be worked out so that you don't owe taxes, et cetera, on the loss. Everything always leans to do a short sale rather than a foreclosure if you can help it.
So, and then the short sales, are there still lots of them going on? I mean, or is it sort of tapered off a bit with the economy and a little bit of the bounce back that we've had? Or are the short sales still pretty much everybody's trying to do that rather than the foreclosure, I'm guessing?
It's a good question. As far as pulses on the market around the country, it seems to me like plenty of short sales are still going on. It does seem to have slowed down a little bit, but it really depends on where you are. You know, of course, property, more buyers coming back out, sellers, home selling quickly with the shortage of inventory has been a plus to eliminate short sales. But there's still many areas where people are just under the water. Maybe they borrowed 125% on their home. And, you know, so even at that, even if they get market value at 100%, it's still going to be a short sale. So I think it's going to take a long time before that really clears itself out. It's an excellent question, but hard for me to answer it across the board. I would say they're a little bit less, but it just depends on where you are. You know, if you're in Detroit, Michigan, it's like, it's not going to clear out for a while, you know. I think there's a little bit more confidence out there now than there was. I don't know, though, when you look at our dollar and you look at what's going on around the world, I'm not sure. But I definitely think it's worth it right now. We mention it on the show quite frequently, is to call your lender if you're in a position that you're in a short sale to see what loans can be worked out right now, because there's a new program that's been out for about a year that actually when I say a year, it depends. There's some that's been out as long as 5 years, but these programs keep getting updated, and there's a newer one that's been out that really is phenomenally, really good, even if you've had back payments, haven't been current on your mortgage, to refinance your rate with the current mortgage company and take off some of your interest. I've seen them actually take some of the interest and they'll refinance it at the lower rate, maybe even as low as 2%, and then say you're behind $50,000, they'll take some of that interest and put it on the back end of your loan so that when you sell the property, they'll defer it, and when you sell the property, they'll have it paid back but aren't making you pay on it now. So I just because you checked with your lender, you know, even a year ago, even 6 months ago, just go ahead and check again. I would definitely do that again. Now, if you're in a question just popped up in my head. If you're in the middle of a property where you're really behind on payments and you want to buy another property, that can be difficult because you're going to, you know, your current situation is going to hold you up unless you do something private. There's always deals out there to be made, though. So it's always something to look at. You've actually gone through your short sale and you're ready to buy another one and you want to do an FHA, FHA loans, the limits of FHA vary throughout the country depending on what county you're in. And you can still go to HUD.gov, HUD.gov, and find a lot of information. Then you can actually look up the area you're in and see what the maximum price is that you could purchase if you were going to do an FHA loan. So, you know, the moral of the story is just don't give up. Don't think this is impossible, you know. Work and start a plan and have the goals, and then you can make it happen.
Mm.
definitely not.
Wow.
Just because you went through a short sale foreclosure, you know, it's not, doesn't mean you have to wait forever, you know. So.
Well, and that's the thing I think that a lot of just regular folks don't realize is that, and you've said it before, but everything is negotiable. I mean, there are deals to be made. You have no idea. You know, there are so many creative ways, and I hear you say that over and over again, week in and week out, you know, that people need to be aware that there are deals out there, and you just need to, you know, you can be creative, and you can, you know, but
you've
got to know what you
want.
Don't
punish yourself. The thing is, don't punish yourself. Well, now if FHA makes this change, and you can buy within a year instead of 2 to 4 years of having a short sale or foreclosure, that's fantastic. You know, that cuts the time down 50% on the 2 year. Don't punish yourself. You know, things happen and you go through life and it's time to move on and make the plans and still follow your path. You know, your why should always be larger than just, you know, this one thing happened. Your why needs to be much larger, which is exciting with our second guest. I'm going to be able to talk about things like that to show us, you know, how we make our why bigger and the rest of the stuff just kind of falls in place, you know. It's amazing. So we don't want to get so focused on, I can never buy again. Because, yes, you can. You can, and there's many ways to do it. So I think we're just about almost finished our first half.
Yeah. Realty Universal Radio, course, on the air everywhere. And the number to call in is 347-945-5428. We're going to take a break, and on the other side, we've got Tammy Lang with us. We've talked about her at the top here of the show, a mother, a pastor's wife, a businesswoman, entrepreneur, missionary, let me see, the list goes on and on, serves on the board of several nonprofits, and oh, by the way, is a avid horse trainer. So we're going to take a break, be back on the other side with Tammy Lang. Stay tuned.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Alrighty, we are back, and it's Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere worldwide, and we have listeners from all over the world, which is very, very cool. Many people choose to listen archived, which is the beauty of internet radio, because you can listen on demand, which is where this world is going. Everything is on demand, and the second half of the show, we always aim to inspire and motivate and mobilize, more importantly, you to be the change in the world that really you seek. And I can't think of a person that I know who has, you know, done more of that in so many different arenas than Tammy Lang. Monica and I met her when we were doing the morning show down in Central California at KAMB Radio.
Wow.
And she, you know, at that time, well, and still is, pastor's wife and board member and all kinds of stuff. So, Tammy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This is going to fly by. So I know sometimes you think, wow, how do we fill 30 minutes? But there is so much that I know you have in terms of being able to add value to people. And let's start with just kind of a little background, right, of who you are, you know, kind of give us some background, your story a little bit, and then we'll kind of get into some of the present day projects that you've been involved with.
Sounds great. Well, I started with a great foundation and great Christian parents. So I think that that gave a great foundation for me and for building up the other things that I've done over the years. But I was born to some parents in 1967, and my mom and dad, my dad actually started a sandwich company just a couple years before I was born called Lanchard Sandwiches, and that's a really neat story too, and I'm going to tell you just real fast, but he was working his way up in a company, and somebody didn't want him to help sell a different company, so that person offered him Lanchard, the sandwich company now, at next to nothing if he just made payments. And so he took that position and built that company from basically nothing all the way up to a national brand now.
Wow.
And that was my dad when I was two. So I didn't see him much. He was very active with us, but he worked all the time, as any new business owner tends to have to put in a lot of hours. And then I have three siblings, older sister, and who's a school teacher and now full-time mom, and a younger sister who's our HR manager at Lanchard, and then my little brother who's been the CEO there and has done a great job.
Wow.
So, yep, so our whole family's very involved together with this family business. But in college, I really thought that I was just going to do the family business. I actually had dreams of being the president, taking it over. And I remember being in marketing classes. I had my degree in marketing and my master's degree, actually, in administration. And I had dreams of taking over the sandwich company, but then I met my husband. He was going to be a Lutheran pastor. So we're like, okay, how is this all going to go together? And is God can be the only one that can blend people together and make it work? He did.
Exactly.
That's the way it works. But my husband and I actually were thinking about being missionaries, which will tie way later, 25 years later, to actually getting to do mission work. But we sat for an interview, and we were going to go to Russia. And this is before, everything was communism, et cetera.
Wow.
And, it would have been a hard operation, but that's where we wanted to go. And now this is where, Randy, you're going to laugh because you know me. I wanted to set up a food distribution there because they were having a hard time getting food. And so the interview was all about my husband and, you know, about what he was going to do for mission work. And, I mean, that all went great. I'm, of course, sitting there very supportive of all that. And so then he looked at me and said, well, what are you planning to do? And I'm like, well, I think it'd be really great to set up a food distribution here. And then people could give food and we could create jobs and our church members could have jobs and it would help feed money to the church. And I thought, of course, this was a great idea. Right away, he said, that's not what a pastor's wife does. You need to stay home and help with the ministry. And it basically, we call it, and Randy, you're a pastor, but a twofer, two for one. You both go for one salary, and that's what you go do. And there were quite a few other comments that were made, and my husband, who is an absolutely fabulous man, when we shut the door, he's like, I guess that's not going to work for us, huh? Because he made some other comments. Because I said, if I'm staying home, what am I going to do? And so he's like, well, a lot of the moms, they have kids, and they, you know, so I'm like, but I don't have kids. You know?
Wow.
And anyway, it was very, very awkward. And so basically we never went to Russia. We didn't go anywhere. We stayed home. And I ended up working for our family business doing marketing. And anyway, in college, I had dreamed that we would be a national brand or a sandwich company would be all over the United States. And I was blessed with the opportunity to run our marketing department very part-time when we started having children. And now we have 5 children. So I did that all through all 5 kids with a very flexible schedule. And anyway, I worked in our marketing department and helped us go from a regional company to a national brand using packaging and marketing. And we won the best new package in 2000.
What's the name? Tell us the name of the contact,
it's
though, because I know, only because I don't mean to interrupt you up like that, but the time goes by so fast.
It's fine. Lanshire, what's the name of the company? It's Lanshire Sandwiches. LANGSHIRD.com.
Okay.
You can look it up. And you can look at the packages, actually, while we speak if you'd like. But those packages that we designed, it was the first in our industry to do that type of packaging. And so we actually won Best New Package 2001, all categories, against Anheuser-Busch.
Wow.
And, yeah, against every Purina was in there, all categories of packaging, because there had never been a pre-printed film sandwich package. And this is even before there were pre-printed film anything. You still had everything pretty much in clear, like even in the freezer department, like peas and corn and things like that was just starting to go to a pre-printed film. So, it was brand new. It had never been invented before. And our sales went up, and Walmart started buying our sandwiches, and we just went into a national company, which was fabulous.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
And it still is fabulous. And my brother's now the CEO, and it's all good. And he was just young then, because I think, that's been great. But that's go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so that helps me, and that helps set the stage for kind of, where we're headed. But because way back then, you were way ahead of your time, obviously, in, because it's been kind of chic nowadays for ministries and churches to have businesses that frankly support them. You know, it's not very commonplace to see, a church or a nonprofit have a parallel kind of for-profit company that, and way back then, that was A, not heard of in the business world, B, in the church world, like you say, just visions of you sitting at home, sewing or knitting, and praying for people, because that's what a pastor's wife does, instead of, going out and making a difference and making a change. When I met you in Merced, you were still flying and traveling and doing a lot of sales and marketing for Lanshire, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I worked remotely from home a week a month in St. Louis, and then the rest of the work I could do from my office in Merced. And there were people, of course, in St. Louis that were making sure things were accomplished, but I was the lead there, and I was in contact and doing things in marketing and especially package design, trade publications. I mean, all of that kind of thing. Our marketing department, basically, I worked with until a year and a half ago, and that's when we took off for Cambodia. My husband has been a pastor over 20 years, and he wanted to take a sabbatical to Cambodia, and so this is just a wow. You can't believe God can work all things out like this, but our God is such a creative God. He is not stuck into these molds. And so we went on Youth with a Mission, which is University of the Nations, and before we left, we hired a vice president of sales and marketing that took over my positions because I was going to be out of the country for 5 months and not really accessible, and it was time because we needed somebody full out on the ground 24 hours a day instead of me in California on my 1 week, and I still worked all the other times, as Randy, constantly working in between things, but it is good to have somebody there all the time, and it was that time. So we did that at that transitional time And we went to Youth with a Mission. And honestly, Randy flew out. We got to see each other there in Kona, Hawaii, which I think you saw what a fabulous and amazing time that was spiritually.
Wow.
Of all things, here we go to do mission work, and I'm completely resigned. I'm very serious when I tell you this, that I was going to be handing out things to very destitute people. We were going to work with the sex slavery people, and that's, you know, the people that were trapped in that, and we were going to work on that. But one of the attributes or one of the founding things at YWAM is that you also look at the root of the problem. And honestly, it was going to kill me to go and just work at the leaves and not cut that trunk down of let's stop sex slavery altogether. Yes, I can go save a couple kids off the street, these poor girls that are trapped in this awful industry, but how can I stop promoting that? I mean, where can we stop the people servicing them and the people that have them enslaved? You know, this is all in my mind, but I honestly, it's completely said, okay, God, I will go and work at the leaves for the next 2 months, and I'll do whatever you tell me. So we fly to Cambodia, and we're there with the University of the Nations, which is another outpost of the University, YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And they ran a university program there also. And we ended up talking and talked to her a little bit about marketing and the things I've done. And my kids and I kid you not, we stayed up one night, my daughters, especially my sons too, but we stayed up and dreamed of jobs for Cambodians, because they said there's only 3% Christians there, poverty is very high, and in the town we were working, there was a huge tourist industry, Angkor Wat's there, which is supposedly one of the seven wonders of the world. It's not, but it is. It's way up there, and so they have 2 million tourists come. The tourists come into that city, and they literally stay in their hotels and then leave, where there's all these open markets, there's restaurants, there's other places. If they just spent some money in those places, so many jobs would be, you know, made, so many jobs. And so we made this list of 10 jobs for Cambodians, and long story short, the University of the Nations, the people that work there, we had dinner together, and I was telling them the 10 ideas, and she said, they run this university, and they do all this work with these people, and it's so impactful, and they become Christians, and it's great, but there's no job.
Yeah.
So long story short, we started a personal shopper business where we train personal shoppers how to talk to tourists and how to take them to the markets and negotiate for them and do everything for them. And now it's been a year now that's gone on. They have a manager, and it's a great business. And the kids that we taught, I just got a letter from them this week. I mean, their lives have been so changed, because literally in a month they make about, let's just say even $45, that's actually a lot, $60 tops. And with each personal shopper visit, they make $5 an hour plus tips. And so the math on that is huge.
That's a lot there, right? Yeah.
It's a lot on what they can make. But the main thing is it creates jobs, because they're actually taking these people out of the hotels into the market, and now they're selling scarves and they're selling things. And so it's not just the personal shopper, but then it's that end of it. And Christ is being proclaimed through that whole business endeavor. So it's just funny because, you know, 25 years ago, I was told, no way, no business with church. And here we fly to YWAM, where I'm going to just be out in the slums helping these people. And then instead, I literally taught a marketing class while I was there. And another friend who's fabulous ran the class, and she is amazing. And one more quick thing to this little story is that YWAM has started a business BTS, a business disciple training school, and the lady and her husband that worked together with me with this project ended up jumping right on, thinking it was a great idea, and she had all the resources to properly train them. I would have gone out and just individually trained them and taken them with me, and this is the way you address customers. We did a very professional class, a 6-week class while we were there. We put together the whole thing in 4 weeks, and 6-week class, and she is going back to Cambodia this year to work with these, I think 20 business students are going back there to see, I guess, what else on that list of 10 items we can start businesses with, or, you know, help the personal shopper business. But that God is in business. God is in every realm of our life. It's in your real estate. God is in your real estate. God is not
Absolutely.
In the church. He is
Absolutely.
All over anything we do. God is there. The Holy Spirit's there. He works with all of us. It is not just sitting in pews. And I think we need to get out and tell people that, because that's where you can find new believers in Christ. Not
We've got, it's
in
God,
church.
Not me. You know, it's God, not me.
Yeah.
It's really, oh, it's
exactly.
amazing, amazing.
And in all areas. I mean, not just, you know, but in business, in the arts. I mean, you can have Christians in the arts that
oh,
make a huge
amazing.
Difference for the world, sports. I mean, you name it. You know, we need to show our faith in whatever we do. From the littlest job to the biggest job, show your faith, and God will move mountains. So, that's
and
it.
he uses and what I hear as you're sharing that story, he gives all of us gifts, and I think more
mm-hmm.
than one. People say, "Well, we each have a gift." Uh-huh. I think
no.
we have
mm-hmm.
we have more than one gift, and yes, there may be a predominant one, and then there's some other lesser ones, but. You know, that was a gifting of yours from early on, and that whole kind of interview with the pastor's wife deal was really a foreshadowing of, you know, what God ended up doing, which was, again, in the context of ministry, using your creative entrepreneurial mind, you know, to change lives. And see, that, like you say, that's the thing we've got to understand, and a lot of people... You know, ask me, you know, well, what's my purpose? And I don't, you know, and I always say, well, look back in your life and see what God's been doing. What keeps coming up, you know? And for
mm-hmm.
you, it's the entrepreneurial thing. It's the business thing. It's the, and tying that into ministry. And then, boom, you've been able to do that. Now, you say you also did that, because I know recently you were in Ethiopia as well, right?
Yes.
Let's share about that a little bit.
I want to just tell you one thing. Until you asked me for the interview, I had never put that story from 25 years ago together with...
Really?
No, I really hadn't. I mean, I really hadn't. So it's
wow.
just interesting how God even shows you, see, I was there and I heard, and now you can use this dream that you thought would work well for people to help people. So, yes, yeah, so now, a year later, my husband and I were going to Ethiopia. My husband has been part of a 4-year mission leadership track, actually, for our church. And it's been 4 years of working, going away for a week, a year, and then he's gone an extra week where you work on leadership and how to properly lead your flock, you know, and in all kinds of ways, spiritually and emotionally and just on and on. It was a great track. And in that, just so you know, for Missouri Synod Lutherans, completely work with the wives also. I mean, in the same way, and they
wow.
really pushed our gifts there. So that was, and this is the biggest leadership group, I think, within our church, a body of being Lutherans, and I just think it's great that they've embraced that side, that the women also have a role, and not that staying at home is not fabulous. I have 5 absolutely gorgeous kids, and I love them, and part of my stepping down from a permanent location responsibility with Lanter is so that I could go to all their games and be there. It's fabulous to be able to be with your children. But God does call us for multiple things. So for some, it might just be being a mom, and they're amazing, and they do everything. Some, it might be mom in business or whatever it is. God's in control, and he'll give you not more than you can handle. So I just want to... say that up front. But as far as Ethiopia goes, then we were supposed to go on this mission trip, and I will tell you, I was a little bit set back, because here we had gone to Cambodia, we had been gone 5 months, but we still had to go fulfill kind of the checkbox of going to on a mission trip with our groups, with all of us together,
mm-hmm.
because we were in a group of 5 other pastors and their wives. The other pastors and wives didn't end up making this trip, except one other couple from Indiana. So the 4 of us flew to Ethiopia this summer, and it was supposed
wow.
to be a trip where we're networking between the 2 synods and helping in that direction with the Ethiopian Lutheran church there, which isn't the same as ours, but we're still brothers and sisters in Christ and brothers and sisters in the way we think and do things, et cetera. So we went on this kind of just team building mission, but we went to the synod, first of all, where they, I'm sorry, the seminary, where they train pastors. And we heard, it's amazing, they had 2.1 million congregation members and 127 pastors. And 200 evangelists. They are in need of training 1,000 pastors, like right now. And there are people working as pastors, which I think is great. I mean, I think it's great that these people have stepped up, but they haven't had training. And that's a little scary if eventually someone could come and trick them. You know, you need to be grounded in the faith and in the Bible in order to not, when somebody else from a different, like more Muslims come or different people, you know, my fear is that they'll get swayed, is that they do need to be trained. Yep. So we kind of heard about that. And the main reason why they can't get trained is it's $1,000 a year for their training. And they get paid, many of the churches, they don't get paid anything. They just get swapped. People give them food. They give them, you know, a place to stay. You know, people don't.
You're saying they could, other people, they could get swayed just from other teachings that may not be in line with what that could,
well,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
Exactly. There's so many ways that it could go off track if they don't.
Right.
That part, and they're charismatic Christians. I mean, the church there is healthy and vibrant and absolutely fabulous people. We could not talk more about their faith and their depth, but training, I think, is key. So we talked to the synod, and then we went and we had talked to the synod leader who hosted us, the president of the synod there, and we talked to him, and his number one concern was, you know, trying to get these people trained when there's not the money to be able to pay for them to come, and their congregations cannot afford to send them. So we were looking at the, you know, from the personal shopper side of being a consumer and helping people buy. We went and looked at things that maybe these villages could make. And then, well, there's one last part. The other thing is they've just gotten off 35 years of being on, like, Norway and Sweden Lutherans paying them for everything. So they were able to kind of drip down the money to everybody. So if something was needed, they could do it. But now, the last couple of years, they can't do any of that anymore because all that money stopped. So they need to figure out a way. These congregations are supposed to funnel up to the synod, who then could help pay these pastors, but there's no money getting funneled up from the bottom up.
And they don't have the nonprofit kind of situation we have in the U.S., right? That it's not the kind of thing. Okay.
No. Yeah, not at all. And and there's no way to really make money. So I asked the pastor, the president, who is a fabulous man, I just said, well, you know, you don't want to hand them things anymore because you're trying to teach these congregations how to support their pastor and everything. What if these churches made items and we sold them?
Brilliant.
That way they're still making things and they're paying that money, but literally they could probably make $1,000 worth of U.S. Sold items for probably $100, which they can afford $100. They just can't afford $1,000. So we talked about that and about making mission boxes, and that is where we sell 12 items that different churches make, and we put together a catalog, and then churches can sell a mission box. Every time you sell a $1,000 mission box, it will pay for a pastor's entire year salary. And it's not very many items that you need for the mission box. I can send you, Randy, the items because I just sent that to Pastor Hailu to get permission on what 12 items we're going to sell. And we're going to try to sell those now. And if it works and if people buy, which I think in the U.S. people will buy those items, then he's going to go to those churches and teach them how to make these items that people will buy. We're first actually going to just purchase some items and make sure that the shipment gets here and everything goes as planned. We got the shipping costs and the box size and all of that. So that's our plan. So actually this morning, Randy, that's what I was doing, was sending him confirmation that he can approve the items that we want in the box. He sent back an email saying he's approved the items. So that's the possibility of funding these pastors. Now, we got to still see the way God works this story out. We're mid-story right now, but it's once again, I didn't think
wow.
I really
had a purpose. What's the name of
we're
your
going
church?
To Ethiopia.
So, what's the name of your church? Can we look you
okay,
up? I mean, look up, how do people... Okay.
Oh, yeah. If they would like to get involved, it's not on our website yet, but St. Paul Lutheran Church in Merced, California. St. Paul Lutheran Church in Merced, California. Everybody there knows how to get a hold of me, of course, but they could just
minute,
send
Merced,
something
what's
there.
What's the website? Is it stpaullutheranchurch.org?
St. Paul Lutheran Church, stpaulmerced.com.
St. Paul Merced. Wait a minute. Just
Paul,
for listeners.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I'll have to look it up.
No. Can you spell it for Merced2.com for listeners?
St. Paul.
Because people,
yeah,
we have a lot of archive listeners. Okay,
great. So tell any archive listeners, be a little flexible. A simple Google search will go with St. Paul Merced.
there you go.
And
you,
it's,
go.
You know, it'll pop
yeah.
up. But it's St.
Yeah.
Paul Lutheran Church, Merced, California. We're the only one.
Cool.
There.
St. Paul Lutheran
awesome.
Church, Merced, Prof. Okay.
Yes.
And Tammy, can they, are there folks, if people want to actually give financially, can they do that to this
yeah.
project?
Yes, absolutely, because as any new business, and we had this in Cambodia too, there are upfront costs for actually, you know, starting a business like
yeah.
anywhere. And, of course, these
yeah.
people don't have that upfront cost. Down the road, they do as they make items and they make money. But at first, there's always some upfront. And so, yes, or if anybody would like to sponsor a pastor while we're still getting
Ooh.
Them together, they need 1,000
Ooh.
Pastors. And it's $100
wow.
a month. Get you a pastor that's in training or $50 a month, whatever will group you with somebody else. That is absolutely another way to give. Directly, or, and this would be fabulous, if anybody would want to sell one of these mission boxes, we
okay.
can work out the details on that, too.
And
there,
is that all on your
we're
website?
Gonna do, it's
okay,
not there yet,
the
because literally we just got it approved today, and
we're still
going to sell a box. I have the items, and I have what they look like, and I can shoot those to you, but we're not going to put it on our website for a couple weeks because I'm going to first get an order of this box. But if somebody else wants to do it, I can shoot them the email and the order form that we're
cool.
using. Because what we're doing, it's kind of like cookie sales, and that's where I got it from. I don't know if all the other churches in California or around the world are the same, where everybody comes and they sell cookies and they sell things for their athletic teams or whatever.
Yeah,
our
oh,
church,
yeah.
We still allow that. And so this
yeah.
is going to be just like that. It'll be like a cookie order form that people can pre-order, and then we ship it. Then we, you know, send them the money,
oh, wow.
and then they ship us the goods. So it's going to be like a cookie order. So when you're done with your sheet, you can send in for the order. So that's the way it's going to work. And if there's,
wow.
you know, extra, if they need a little bit of help or whatever, don't have it all, as long as there's so much, we can go ahead and send the box because we can start
yeah.
filling that. And they can
Powerful.
Still sell the items after church or to their friends or on Facebook. I put it on Facebook and, you know, it was so awesome how God works. I didn't say that exactly what we're doing. I was just trying to feel it out. And one Treasure, you know, Treasure from Merced, she
yeah.
came up right away and said, hey, I want to help you with that mission box idea. And it wasn't even outlaid like what
wow.
I just told you. And it's amazing because she is so creative. And I really
yeah.
no creative genes other than to come up with ideas. But as far
yeah.
as pulling them together, I don't know how to make a bracelet or make a necklace. Or And she knows how to do all of that because we're trying to pick items that people will want to buy that they can hand carve because wood is cheap. I mean, it's everywhere. And so that's
mm.
something they can carve. So crosses are really nice. There's a lot of things they can make out of materials that don't cost very much
yeah.
that we would love, like huge soup bowls and spoons and things like that. They just do a
mm.
great job. So anyway,
wow.
there's a lot of opportunities that way. But if anybody's interested, this is very from the bottom up.
This is cool.
I mean, it's just starting. But that's we've only been back in the country 10 days, I think. so we haven't been back long enough to make this launch, but that's the idea, and we're still working through the details and all of that, but
okay.
it's
wow,
exciting.
I love
and,
it.
Yeah,
cool.
So anyway, that's just back to that
very cool
business, how business
oh,
is
yeah.
fun minute.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Hey, we
yeah.
have like 45 seconds,
okay.
so
oh,
this
great.
Has been amazing. Folks, you
wonderful.
Can contact Tammy
You can contact Tammy, obviously, on Facebook. You can just Google Tammy Lang Merced. Boom, she's everywhere in Merced. So
yeah,
Tammy
and
Lang Merced.
Tammy, if you did Tammy Trover, that's my maiden name, Jude Lanshire, T-R-O-V-E-R, and Lang, then you definitely will get me on Facebook. Like,
cool.
Lang,
L-A-N-G.
Tammy Lang, with an E,
L-A-N-G. L-A-N-G?
With an E.
Yeah,
Lang with me,
okay,
like the ski
it.
Boots.
Lang with me.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We're going to get ready. We're almost going to be cut off
you.
Because we're at the end of the show. So this has been wonderful, and I'm going to look
you
up.
Thank you.
And I hope it's just amazing, and we can see how we can contribute. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.